Hey everybody, so in this particular installation of the Digital Digest by AOS, I speak with Damon Jones, who is known in the DC metro area for establishing the SOX movement, where he's constantly been going around for close to over 5 or 6 years now, probably. That's as long as I've known about personally, where, you know, he's gifting homeless citizens around the city in different areas of the city with essential products, essential hygiene products, namely socks being one of them. So today, you know, with everything going on with the COVID virus, and, you know, him have already been out there, you know, personally working with homeless citizens, I wanted to know, you know, how movements like his are surviving, and, you know, kind of just check in on them and to see how they're doing over there with their initiatives. So this is kind of how the conversation went. Check it out. If you have any questions, go ahead and email them to us. We'd love to hear from you. Or you can send us a message here or on Instagram at the.digital.digest. Check it out. Tune in. Awesome. Damon, welcome. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you, Erica?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us. So today, ladies and gentlemen, on this installation of the Digital Digest by AOS, we have the founder of the SOX movement, So Others Can Keep Striding. This is a movement that's been helmed here out of the Washington, D.C. metro area, that's helping dozens, scores, even our homeless citizens get the basic necessities that they need throughout the year. So how's life been going? How's the movement going, Dana?
Life is definitely over 2 decades. Done everything from mentoring to teaching in the classroom to this community service and all kind of good stuff. And I guess my culminating kind of life's work is So Others Can Keep Striding. So we're a 501c3. We are based actually in Prince George's County, which is where I am from. And we do the majority of our work here in the DC metropolitan area, everywhere from Northern Virginia to Baltimore is our primary footprint. Span. Yeah, footprint. We've partnered with organizations in Georgia, Alabama, California, New Jersey, and the list goes on. And so, but our primary service area is right here in Washington, D.C. and in Maryland.
Awesome. So what is your ultimate mission? You know, this homeless issue is a huge issue to tackle, from, you know, homeless vets to homeless families to single moms. You know, so where did you even get started? I guess is my first question. Like, how one day you woke up and said, I'm going to go on a mission to help out homeless people. Were you affected by something personally? You know, what kickstarted you into action, or what catapulted you into action?
It's funny you ask the question in that way, because I kind of did just wake up and it happened. So the nutshell of the story is I was volunteering at a local church. This was 7 years ago. At least they turned the church into a homeless shelter over the weekend, and I volunteered, and my assignment was to spend the night with the gentlemen who were housed for the evening. And these gentlemen talked a lot about socks. They actually talked more about socks than they did money, food, shelter. But at the time, I had left my job to start a school. And so my mind was preoccupied with a million things, but I was listening. They kind of knew one another, so I really wasn't in the conversation. And so woke up the next morning. As soon as I opened my eyes, I just saw these words. I saw So Others Can Keep Striding. And I looked for a second and realized that it was an acronym, and it said SOCKS. And I thought about what the guys were saying the night before and was like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. But then I hopped up, because I was on a mission to start the school, went on about my business, kind of forgot about it. I had never had a history of like serving the community of folks experiencing homelessness. And my mission was to serve the young people, which I had done majority of my life since I was a kid. And so fast forward a few months later, like I said, I left my job to start this school, and things were getting really tight. And so I was about to get foreclosed on, which a lot of people in my life didn't know. I was kind of suffering in silence. And so I got this, you know, when you're getting foreclosed on, you get letters consistently from the bank. But I had gotten that letter and it was like, we're coming next week. And yeah, which was essentially was my reply. And so I just started praying. This was like, it was a very short prayer. It's like, hey,
I'm here.
You know, I don't think you want to take my house like this, do you? This wasn't really how this, I don't really think that this, it wasn't resonating that that's how I was supposed to move on. And the answer was very clear and very immediate. It was, do you remember that Sox thing?
Ooh. Kind of
confused. Because I was like,
that's not the answer I wanted.
it was not at all. And so I asked the guy. I have a relationship with my father. So I kind of just talked to him a lot of times the way you and I are speaking. And so I just kind of was like, hey, you know, Papa, it's kind of off topic.
It's not the trajectory I was going for.
No, not at all. You threw me off. But so what's up with me in this house thing? And he was like, do you remember that Sox thing? It was almost like when your father put a little bit more bass in his voice. Like, you remember that Sox thing, boy? And I was like, yes. And he was like, well, do that.
Wow.
And I said, okay. Which I had no idea what the Sox thing was, right? So I hop on the phone. I'll make this short. Hop on the phone. I call three people that I know and love, who don't know one another or not in any similar circles whatsoever. And all three people that I called literally, and this is before we only did new socks, they literally had socks already waiting. Like my boy Joey, who had an athletic store at the time, they had like literally that day or the day before, he had cleaned out his inventory and had a bag specifically of his unsold socks. And it was just sitting right there. He's like, bro, I'm looking at a bag of socks right now. Why don't you come get them? And that was the same experience with all three calls. Literally, there were just socks already waiting. So I was like, man, what is the chances? Like, what's the chances of that? So I, you know, hopped in my car and went and picked up the socks. And now I have a car full of socks and really not sure what to do with it. Next day, I get a call from a friend of mine who I had not talked to this man in months and months. Calls me out of the blue. He says, you want a job? And I was like, I didn't necessarily want one, but I knew I needed one. So I was like, yeah. So he gave me the email address of someone to contact. Long story short, that person went to college with me. We had a very short 20-minute conversation about the job, and we caught up. The next day, I had an offer letter in my mailbox, my inbox. I was able to send that offer letter to the bank and say, hey, you guys can cease and desist. No need to take my house because I'm going to be making some money now. And so basically, within less than 72 hours of me saying yes to doing socks, I was able to tell the bank to cease and desist, and I kept my home. And so I took that as a signal that this is what I should be doing. And
that's not a sign. It's out here for you, bro.
Yeah. So, yeah. So when folks ask me, why do I do this? You know, is it, have you been homeless before? Is that your, actually I have, but that's not the reason that I do it. But what going through those experiences helped with my empathy. They've helped me to understand that anybody can end up like this. Like I ended up without a home. Like I was even paying my rent, but my roommate at the time wasn't. And I literally went on vacation, came back from vacation, and didn't have a home. And went to the landlord. Was like, "What? How does this happen?" And that's when he told me, "Well, you've been paying your rent, but your roommate hasn't." So I think having those experiences helped me to be empathetic, because I think a lot of times the general thought is, well, you're homeless because whatever, you know, it's your fault.
You made bad decisions, right? Or you're a junkie.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, no, actually, you know, no, that's actually not always the case. And in many cases, that is not at all it. It can be a loss of a job. Mm-hmm. It could be.
I mean, yeah, working in life insurance, they tell you that most, like 80% of Americans, if they were to suffer some type of medical crisis, they're literally one paycheck away from being homeless and don't even realize it. So this is something very real that, you know, is, you know, disseminated throughout the corporate culture and insurance.
Yes.
So, you know, a lot of people, you know, you would be preaching to the choir to on that point, you know. So,
Yeah, it's really... the more that I've leaned into this, and I've met hundreds, thousands of people in the street, and you know, some people willing to share their story. And it's heart-wrenching to hear how some people end up out there, doctors, lawyers, you know, high-level kind of professional folks that you would never think. So it can happen to anyone listening. And so just count your blessings and also prepare for what you may not be expecting to happen if you can.
Awesome. You know, I think a lot of it also deals with mindset, you know, and, you know, again, when you found yourself faced with something and, you know, it was either take it up in prayer or you could have went out in the street. So I'm sure there's a whole lot of different kind of decisions that you could have made. And, you know, it's important to hone in on that particular point, because it was when you took it up in prayer that, you know, it was made clear to you what you were supposed to do. Now, it could have been made clear to you what you were supposed to do. And had you ignored that advice, who knows where you would be right now? You'd probably be in the same position of a lot of people that you're out here helping. So I think it's important to really hop on that point that, you know, in a moment of indecisiveness, in a moment of not knowing what to do, you really took it up in prayer and that turned things around for you. And this was back in 2014.
Amen. Hallelujah. And I definitely give all glory to the Most High God. And I love him and I appreciate everything that he's done for me and for this organization. And I could work every second of my life and never pay him back. And so my goal is to, you know, my hope is that he'll be proud of the work that we're doing for sure. But yeah, it's definitely not understated. And I couldn't give him more enough glory if I had 1,000 lips. So that's for sure.
Wow, that's awesome to hear. So what's something that most people should know about the SOX movement, or, you know, some of the changes you guys are experiencing through this whole shift of normalcy, you know, through this whole quarantine pandemic or whatever you want to call it? Like, how is your organization moving forward? How are you keeping things together? You know, what's important to know for folks that do want to continue to support you across social or however that they're able to support?
Yeah, I want folks to know that we, as a company, have been extremely, and I will not go into it, but I just want to let everyone know we have been extremely impacted by this health crisis. We had several initiatives that we invested many hours and significant amounts of money in 2019, our own money a lot of times, because our company budget isn't huge. And we were really excited about 2020, and we still are. But literally, it was one roadblock after another, from, you know, the SOX line that we were developing to the SOX box campaign that we were about to roll out. To all of the volunteer outreach activities that we had planned for this year. All of these things we will still do, but in the moment, we haven't been able to. And so it's been a really great opportunity to, instead of, like, you know, kind of pout and get down about it, to really think innovatively about how we are still going to address the needs of the people that we love.
Right.
And so what I want folks to know is where to find us. You can find us at SOX Movement everywhere online. So at SOXMovement.org is our website. SOX Movement is our Twitter, is our Instagram, is our Facebook. So if you punch in SOX Movement, you will find us. Check our website out, take a look at what we're about and who we are, and just learn a little bit more about our mission, which is to remind the world what love looks like. And that's how we look at our outreach services. We look at love as a demonstration in action. I could tell you I love you, but if I beat you up right afterwards, it's questionable. And so it's really the corresponding action that we believe is really the demonstration of love. And so for almost 6 years now, we've been giving socks out in the streets. And the first 2 years, year or so, however, whatever, was just kind of me bumping around in the streets and trying to figure out what this means and what to do and how to do it and where to go. And stuff like that. And so it's really cool, because now when we have outreach events, you know, I'm able to make sure that people are safe, or make sure that we're able to take people to some of the areas of service where maybe that are a little bit off the grid, or maybe where everyone doesn't go, because, you know, some people don't like to go to the high populated areas, like in certain parks and things of that nature. And so we try to just find people where they are. The big kind of overarching thing I would like for people to know is that our mission is expanding. And so we will always continue to do outreach. We'll always continue to provide an opportunity for groups to come with us out into the streets, because that is so important. And, you know, not only for the people we serve, but the people who we serve with, you know, because I mean, I could just go on and on about the testimonials, but it's been 5 years. The response is pretty much always the same. It's so eye opening because it's so interactive. And so we'll continue to do that. And if anyone's wondering, hey, do I have to be a certain age or a certain this? No, we've had folks as young as 5 out, and we've had seniors out on the street. So if you have a willing heart and you can walk a little ways, come on out and join us. And what we're adding,
And how do you typically do circulated lists? Do you let people know, you know, what you're doing on what day? Is that something they follow on social? Do you have a newsletter? How do people stay abreast on, you know, when you're going out and how they can get involved?
They can go to the website, and on our events tab, we have a volunteer section, and all of our volunteer dates are listed, and you can go on there and you can sign up, put your name in, and it'll come straight to us. So you can go to the website and find out. You can also follow us on Instagram, which is probably our primary social, and Facebook as well. Okay. And so we'll post our outreach activities usually like 2 or 3 weeks before. We keep our groups really small intentionally. So we typically don't have any more than five to 10 people out at a time, because we like for it to be the experience to be intimate, and we want folks to have everyone to have an opportunity to participate. And for the people that we're serving, we don't want them to feel overwhelmed by a huge group of, you know, kind of folks.
People are just walking up on them like, hey, here you go. Taking pictures for the gram and stuff. Let me take a picture. Let me take a selfie with you in these socks.
We actually not forbid, but we strongly encourage our volunteers to keep their phones in their pockets when they come out. I reluctantly, or someone will reluctantly take some pictures just, and you know, without faces and things of that nature, just so folks know that we're out and we're working.
That you're out really in a community, really doing it.
But you know, if it wasn't important to share that we're doing it, then it would be a no-show policy for sure. So we encourage our volunteers to not do that. And no one ever has an issue with that. Everyone's always really cool with that. So what we're doing, to your question from before, in terms of what I would like folks to know, I would like folks to know that in the midst of this crisis, even before this crisis, a little bit about me. I have an economics background. So I graduated from Harvard with a degree in economics. And so I'm a very kind of nerdy, numbers-based kind of a guy. And so what I've been paying attention to over the last several years, especially, is our economy here in the country. And a lot of the indicators point to us going to a very severe correction. Some might call it a depression, whatever you want to call it. We're headed there. And this health crisis has done nothing but just pop a couple of bubbles that we had in the real estate market, a couple other stock market, that's really just going to accelerate this depression. So what does that mean for stocks?
Right. Accelerate the course to utopia.
That is a great way to put it, tongue in cheek wise, you know, it's a great way to put it. Yeah. And so we're just going to get to where we were going to go even more quickly. So what that means is, you know, if you just kind of study depressionary times, not only does unemployment rise, but there's a correlation between unemployment, obviously, and homelessness, because, you know, people are unable to pay the bills and unable to pay the rent, are forced into the streets. And so we've been expecting that there will be a spike in the number of folks experiencing homelessness for some time. And so what we've been trying to do to get ahead of that is develop economic empowerment, is what we're calling it, initiatives to strengthen people's skill set so that they can leverage the job opportunities and the entrepreneurial opportunities that this shifting economic landscape is going to provide. And so that is what we are working on very diligently. And so it's kind of like we have our handout services, you know, our outreach that will never stop. Mm-hmm. And then we're adding to it our hand up services to empower people.
Up services. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome. I love the way that sounds. I love the way, you know, you're able to speak to it on an everyday level so everybody can understand exactly what you're doing and how we can all can help. So with that being said, who's your ideal partner or sponsor?
Ideal, first and foremost, is anybody that cares like we do and wants to help. So, you know, anybody in the SOX movement, I'm so blessed to have people reaching out all the time that says, "Hey, I do this. You know, let me know if I can help. I do that." Like my friend reached out yesterday and said, "Hey, brother, if you need some brochures redesigned, let me know. I got you." You know, and things like that are always so amazing. So, if you don't have money to donate, if you have a skill, you know, if you have a network that we can tap into, that is very, very highly beneficial. Corporations right now are a big target for us. We want to partner with corporations who have social responsibility segments that are focused on either economic empowerment or mitigating homelessness or both. We feel we have packages for corporations or businesses that are interested in that, and a lot of creative ways that we can work together and partner in ways that not only will benefit the community, but depending on the degree to which the corporation would like to partner with us, we think that we have some really innovative solutions for some of the pain points they might be experiencing in their own internal workforce as well.
If you're like everyone else around the country or around the world, even detoxing is probably one of the main things that you will be adding to your lifestyle. Start your monthly detoxes with Dr. Miller's Detox Tea. Detox, cleanse, and weight loss with Dr. Miller's original holy tea blend, available at mommyhacks.lauralife.com. That's mommyhacks, that LURRALIFE.com. This is a business opportunity to become a distributor with Laura Life. Brought to you by the Digital Digest by AOS. Health is noble, and I commend you, and I know you'll be greatly blessed. I can see that God is definitely making a way for you and shining for you, and you know, it's definitely going to use you as an exemplar, you know, as someone who has established, you know, the kingdom here on earth. So thanks for joining us today. Everybody else, we'll
Peace.
catch y'all on the innovative solutions. You want to go into that a little, like
Sure,
for
absolutely.
example?
So, for example, if there is a, we are in the process of partnering with organizations that do the work that we otherwise would like to do. So, to make that clear, and our outreach programs, our Socks Box programs, those are programs that Socks does. We facilitate it, we implement it, we do that. In terms of the workforce development, entrepreneurial development, while we could create those programs, there's a sense of urgency to help folks. And so, anyone who's built the program, you know, you've built your pocket. Anything you build, it takes time. You got to build it, you have to test it, you have to refine it, and kind of had to make an executive decision on whether we were going to create our own workforce development programs, our own entrepreneurial programs, or seek out others who are already doing amazing work in those areas and find ways to partner. So, what we're working on now is a foundation model wherein we will seek donations, seek corporate contributions, and then create kind of a programmatic curriculum that involves folks who are already kind of servicing our population, and we become kind of the grant maker for those organizations, and almost like the pass-through organization. And within that, myself and my team, we have tons of experience in not only monitoring grants, but also facilitating their impact. For example, like I used to work at the DC government, and I had a cohort of charter schools. And so I monitored those charter schools and their Title I, Title II, Title III, and Title IX funds, and worked with the schools to better utilize those funds to ensure academic improvement for the babies. And so we're taking that same kind of philosophy wherein we understand what needs to be done. We have a lot of insight of how it can be done better. And we want to partner with the organizations that are doing the work, help them maybe do the work a little bit better. Or if they're doing the work but aren't really doing it for, say, our population of people experiencing homelessness, work with them to maybe modify their programming to fit, you know, our constituency.
That sounds like a plan. Sounds like a winning
Thank you.
plan at that. And so with the emerging market of entrepreneurs, ideally, you know, the coders of the world, mm-hmm. the gamers mm-hmm. of the world, mm-hmm. the millennials of the world that see what you're doing. And now they want to take what they know, what they're doing, you know, get their communities involved. You know, do they reach out to you via Instagram? Do they go on the website for more information? What action would you like them to take?
I would love anybody that you just mentioned and anybody to reach out to me with ideas. I absolutely love ideas. You can DM us on the Socks Movement page. You can email us at info@socksmovement.org. We'd love to set up a time to chat and talk ideas. We have a few initiatives we're about to roll out that I'm super excited about, but I got to keep my lips closed on. But just follow us on socksmovement.org. Socks Movement on Instagram, Socks Movement on Twitter, Facebook. We'll be sure to announce what we have coming up. I have not been sleeping much at all, but that doesn't matter because I'm just so excited about this opportunity. I know this is a scary time for a lot of people. Like I said, it's been impactful to me. And I spent a few days pouting. But after I kind of got over it and realized how much of an opportunity this time is to help folks, I just really have been excited. And I told somebody yesterday, you know, if you want to be down in the dumps, I'm probably not the person to talk to right now, because I'm so encouraged and so excited about this time. So mm-hmm. if someone wants to talk ideas, hit me up. info@socksmovement.org, or you can DM us on Instagram.
All right, and that was info@socksmovement.org, which brings me to the next point. So what are some of the key points to consider when doing business in your industry, like people that want to start movements like yours, like, you know, little brothers and little sisters out there who see what you're doing and they want to do their own version of it? How do you encourage them to come and join you, or how would you advise in going about creating your own movement like this? Because, apparently, you know, living in DC, safety in the DC metro area, safety and security can be, you know, a key point that you definitely want to focus on. So I can only imagine in other places like New York, Georgia, LA, so what do you typically tell people or caution them on? Of how they should approach people, or, you know, what is the most responsible way to go about starting your own movement
to serve folks experiencing homelessness, or just any movement?
Yes, the same way you do. Yeah, the same way that you serve people if they're interested in, you know, some people, they want to go and give people food on the streets. And while, you know, that's noble, you know, there's actually laws against that in Florida, in places like Florida. So how do you get people to do the right thing, but in a responsible way? Would you want them to come and join your organization, or how do you advise in starting their own organizations at a grassroots level to stay safe while, you know, being socially responsible?
So in this environment currently, I would say anything you do, I guess you really need to practice probably even additional safety measures just to ensure that, you know, the volunteers, you or whoever you are that is in the street, making sure that you're safe. In general, I would say if everybody started their own thing, then none of those things could thrive, if that makes any sense. At some point, we have to be in contribution to someone else's thing. Correct.
Who's already established.
And so are we looking for talented folks to help with this mission? Absolutely. If you have a skill, you mentioned coding, if you have a skill in graphic design, if you have a skill in marketing, if you have a skill in volunteer management, or you're looking to develop those skills and you need a place where you can cut your teeth and mess around and be creative and maybe make some mistakes, I think this would be a safe place for you to learn and to grow. And while you're learning and growing, make a really significant impact on the people that we serve. And so we're definitely looking for volunteers. We're looking for interns. We don't have a budget to pay salary right now, but if folks have extra time on their hands, which a lot of us do right now, and they want to be involved in something that's bigger than themselves, we would love, I cannot emphasize enough, to talk with you about that and get any assistance that you may be willing to provide. But in general, I'll say this, before I started Socks, I can't even tell you how many other folks' movements and organizations and companies that I volunteered with or just helped out with any way that I could. So It wasn't like I just got here and just said, I'm going to do this. I think when you contribute to somebody else's thing, when you work at someone else's company, you're learning. You know, you're learning. Like, if you want to be an entrepreneur, one of the best things that you can do is be an amazing employee. And by amazing, I mean, you know, not only get the job and do what you're asked to do, but go above and beyond. Find other ways that you can add value to the company, other ways that you can learn. Figure out how that company works, the infrastructure, so that when it's your time to start your own thing, now you've seen and learned so many things. You've shortened the learning curve for when you start your thing. So I would just say, hey, you know, because I see in social media, it's almost getting to the point where some folks, it's like, job is a bad thing. No, jobs are great. Like, you know, there's no, between a job and having your own thing, there's no better option. It's just all about who you are and what works best for you. And so I would definitely encourage folks to find organizations that you can volunteer with, learn how they do it. And then if you really have a heart and mind and passion and drive to start your own thing when the time is right, do that. And if the time is right now, and it's something you've been thinking about for some time and you want to do it, step out there and go for it.
I agree. And, you know, moving to the next point, some folks may very well, you know, prefer the philanthropy route. They may prefer just to give money, you know, if their time is all tied up, or, you know, they just prefer to give money for whatever reason. So do you accept monetary donations, and are
they
tax deductible?
And we need them, especially now because of so much that's going on. You can donate to us, socksmovement.org, our website. As soon as you go, you'll see a couple of buttons where you can donate via Cash App, via PayPal. We even have a post office box. If you're old school and want to write a check, we are 501c3. We are an established charity, so all of your donations are tax deductible. Even if you send a large in-kind donation, even those donations are tax deductible.
Awesome. And about right now, if you had to set a threshold or benchmark for a dollar level that you're trying to get to, just to give us an idea of your operating costs, expenses, day-to-day, you know, keeping everything flowing around, you know, between now and the end of the year, around what number would you say, you know, would be a comfortable number, you know, in lieu of everything that's going on?
$1 million is my goal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I know you probably weren't expecting something that large,
right,
but
awesome.
It's
actually, that's not large,
not
given this day and age and time and expenses. That's only $2,000 500 times, or $500 2,000 times, which is very doable. It makes a lot of sense for technology, apps, graphics, content, this, that, stocks, you know, feeding the people, supporting the people, getting quality people in. I'm sure at some point you're probably going to have to do some type of mobile medical unit or something just to make sure people are good, the people that you develop relationships with. So, you know, $1 million, I actually think that's a bit on the most, on the modest side.
I'm really glad that you said that. And that's the floor. And as I was saying before, you know, had COVID not hit so hard, we would be really hitting the ground running towards
good.
That goal. But again, like I said, there's this theory of constraints where it's like when you remove options, you create an environment where creativity and innovation can thrive. And so, like, the best example I always like to use for that theory is our primary colors, right? So you have three primary colors, and that seems like that could be a constraint because you only have blue, red, and yellow. But like, with just those three colors, you can make infinite hues. You can make infinite colors. Exactly.
Right. Blue and yellow makes green.
So,
hey, there
you
go.
If anyone's out here, I want to just share a word of encouragement. Hopefully this is encouraging. If you're feeling boxed in, if you're feeling constrained, if you're feeling like you don't have any options, if you're feeling like you don't have any choices, here's my recommendation. Turn off the news. Turn off all of the outlets and just sit and think about, pray on, meditate on what's really going on. Like, we all know the bad news. But within the bad news, there's always a silver lining. Sometimes you have to dig a little bit deeper. Sometimes you have to search a little bit harder, but there's always opportunity in it. So if you're feeling constrained, you might actually be at the optimal point to create an idea or a solution to a problem that will take you out of that feeling of constraint. Because if you're experiencing a problem, then the chances are there's tons of other people that are experiencing problems. And the best ideas, the best businesses, the best companies are born from someone looking at a problem and thinking differently about how to solve it and then creating a business around that problem. Or that solution, I should say.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I agree. All right. Well, with that being said, I wanted to find out if we can hop on Instagram Live on the Digital Digest page and go live and share some of these key takeaways with the audience over there.
Sure. Awesome.
All right. Awesome. Sweet. All right, guys. That's all our time for this installation of the Digital Digest by AOS. Damon, thank you so much for coming in to enlighten us and what it takes to be a part of, you know, such an impactful movement.
Amazing right now. Very busy. Lots to do, and I would say the movement is moving.
So with that being said, that's this installation of the Digital Digest by AOS. You can find us on Instagram at the.digitaldigest, as well as find out more about the SOX movement. Follow their page at SOX Movement. Thanks so much for tuning in, and to be featured on the Digital Digest, DM us on the gram, please.